Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Genesis. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. Now here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of Genesis. We're in chapter 16, having finished the reading. Now we're going to talk a little bit about it. We see in verse 7, "And the angel of the Lord found her," that is Hagar, "by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? Whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord there in verse 11 named his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. The name Ishmael means God hears or God listens. And so that is Ishmael's name. And the angel of the Lord, identified here in verse 7 and following in chapter 16, is what we find in the Old Testament as the angel of God in chapter 21, verse 17, or the angel of his presence in Isaiah 63:9, or the messenger of the covenant in Malachi 3:1. This angel of the Lord appeared to individuals. When we take a closer look at those appearances, we reveal that he's more than just another messenger. He's more than just a regular angel. He is God. The expression usually signifies a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ and is sometimes called a Christophany. That means a visible bodily manifestation of God the Son before his coming in the flesh as the baby Jesus and then the man Jesus. He is not merely another angel, as evident by those appearances where he's called God. He was recognized by Hagar, by Abraham, by Moses, by Gideon, by Manoah, in Judges 13. The expression is also used of men, but on such occasions it's translated the Lord's messenger, not the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord no longer appears to men today, since God has commissioned Christians to be his angels or his messengers in the world. And so we understand that at this appearance of the angel of the Lord, there is the naming of Ishmael. There's also a declaration that Hagar's son is going to be a wild man and will dwell in the presence of all his brethren in defiance, in disregard of all of his brethren. In 25:18 of Genesis and in Deuteronomy 21:16, the scriptures there denote the hostility on the part of Ishmael and his descendants toward his brethren. That would be Isaac and his descendants. Isaac, of course, is not yet shown up, neither has Ishmael, but he's on the way. He is also known as having been somewhat hostile against his own people, Ishmael's own line. So when the Jewish and Arab conflict began, it began with Ishmael due to an act of the flesh on the part of Abram. When Hagar finally gave birth, Abraham was 86 years old. We see there in verse 16. And his promise was still unfulfilled, even though he had a son. This was not the promised son that was promised of God. And so we see Ishmael as the oldest son of Abraham by Hagar. Sarah's Egyptian handmaid was prolific, and we'll see more about that later on. We know that he was expelled because he was such a wild person. He was expelled by Abraham because Sarah did not want him around. This was after he had treated very spitefully his brother Isaac. God spared his life, and you'll see the story of him marrying an Egyptian, becoming the father of 12 princes. He was the forefather of the folks we know now as Arabs. And so we see the Jewish and Arab conflict because of Abram, or Abraham, and Sarah not believing God. All right, we're at chapter 17, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. 13 years had come and gone since Ishmael was born. El Shaddai, or El Shaddai, Almighty God. El denotes power, and Shaddai may be derived from the Akkadian Shaddai, that is, to overpower, portraying God as the overpowering Almighty God who will supernaturally provide descendants for Abram when all other means fail. When God named him Abraham, he changed his name from High Father to that of Father of a Multitude. So, Abraham, even though High Father is a pretty good name, you know, but Abraham meant Father of a Multitude. Now, when we see the everlasting covenant that's promised here, this is the everlasting covenant of promising the land, giving the land, and it includes the possession of Canaan. It is the title deed, if you will. It is the guarantee of the right of Israel to possess this land as an earthly inheritance without end, forever and ever. God is the landlord. God created the earth, he created the land, and he gives the title deed to Israel, his son. So the Jews have a rightful claim to the land as long as the earth shall stand according to God's word. This is everlasting. This is forever. Let's continue and see what else God has to say. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give her, or give thee, a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Abraham's part of the covenant-making process was circumcision. God established this as a sign of the covenant to indicate that his offspring were uniquely dedicated to him. A Hebrew who failed to observe the rite of circumcision would be cut off from the Jewish covenant community. It was an outward sign of an inward dedication to God. It was not unique to Israel, nor was it efficacious of bringing an individual to God, but this was required as an outward sign of an inward dedication to God. Verse 17. We've heard of Sarah laughing. Let's see what is going on with verse 17. Then Abraham now fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. That means laughter. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Notice Abraham laughed. Now, it's perhaps difficult for you to believe that Abraham would laugh, but he laughed at the idea of a 100-year-old man begetting a son with Sarah, who was 90. Now, his own father had been 130 years old when Abraham was born. So, here's the question. It was not just at 100, but beyond that, that he was able to have children. That is Abraham's father. But now Romans 4:19 is what Paul had to say about it. And when Abraham was 100, this is what Paul said, he considered not his own body now dead. The laughter is one of doubt, as verse 18 reveals. His plea is, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, indicated his wish to adopt him as his heir. And that would be a legal statement of adoption, and God would declare it officially, but that was not what happened. because Abraham was not listening to what God was saying. God said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" He's going to say that out loud in just a little bit. But this adoption, this legal adoption, it's not necessarily a bloodline adoption, but this legal adoption is signified as well when God speaks out in the situations of Jesus Christ, and when he spoke verbally and it was heard, and he said, "This is my beloved son," or "Thou art my child," basically, "but this is my beloved son, hear ye him." And you know, at the resurrection, that's what God declared. Now, God was naming him as well as God had named Ishmael. God names Isaac. Isaac is "he laughs." Now, that's a reminder to Abraham by the unlikely means by which he was brought into the world. We'll see Sarah's reaction as well in chapter 18, whereas we've seen the reaction of Abraham in chapter 17. Verse 22, "And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him. And Abraham was 99 years old. He was 99 when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son. And all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him." Genesis 18:1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto him, They said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 15, Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? These three men who appeared before Abraham were the pre-incarnate Christ and two angels. We find an example of not only entertaining angels unaware, but also of God becoming the guest of one of his own saints. Sarah laughed within herself, either because she didn't know of the promise or because she was unconvinced it would be fulfilled. But in either case, one of the three men was now clearly identified as Yahweh, who knew Sarah's thoughts.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.